Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity. Hello and welcome to the weekly conversation, the Tuesday edition, folks, or as liberals would call it, weekend update. Tonight on the conversation, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about one of the greats that we just lost on May 1st. Colonel Bruce Hampton, what an amazing writer, guitarist, just... If you listen to any jam band, whether it's Fish or the Dead or String Cheese or Leftover Salmon, Government Mule, you have him to thank. Ann Coulter actually went to The View, which I'd probably throw up if I went to The View, but, you know, they just gang up on it. When you got 25 to 1, what are you supposed to do? I mean, I want to get into her because, I mean, the wall is going to be built. That's the bottom line. I want to get into some other things. Will these shootings and stabbings ever stop in America? Every time you turn on the TV, you know, there's an active shooter or something going on. May Day marchers were chanting, kill Trump and kill Pence. If we were to have done that when Obama was president, the media would have killed us. Lord help us. I think it's past time that these people are called domestic terrorists. You know, they should be labeled as criminals. An 8-year-old priest in Spain, who's called Father Angel, opened up a restaurant in Madrid, Spain, where they take money from people at lunch. And that money, that little extra that they give, actually goes to help feed the homeless at night. It's a Robin Hood restaurant. And that place is hard to get into. It's packed. People want to go there. People want to help out. Is Hillary ever going to get over the fact that she lost? Because she's still harping on things. I want to get into that a little bit. Trump loosened also some of the restrictions on school lunches. A miracle that happened in Texas, and something Greg Abbott said in Texas that just made my day. Colin Kaepernick, is he a saint or is he just trying to pretend like he's got a good reputation and try to kiss his butt because he's doing something that's nice on one hand, but I hope he's doing it for the right reasons. I don't think he is, but hey, we can always hope. That much, much more. So welcome to the conversation that I hope you're a part of, folks. Proverbs 22:4. True humility and fear of the Lord lead to riches, honor, and long life. Think about that as you're going through your day to day, and if y'all don't know, I'm getting ready Saturday night. I got dinner done. I'm having a good old time. Me and wife can have a nice dinner. And as I'm getting ready to run upstairs on the edge of the baseboard area, on the part that goes diagonally up where the steps are, my foot caught it and busted a couple toes. And they're fractured. And I've been having a circulation issue. So I'm off work till Thursday. I can go back Thursday, but I'm off Thursday. So I'm going back Friday and I'm having circulation issues, and if they still persist and I need to call him tomorrow, like after 1 o'clock, and we'll figure out if there's some other things that they would have you do. So I want to thank you all for tuning in. Bienvenue, madame, messieurs. Welcome. As most of you know, and a lot of my friends do, I'm a huge Deadhead. There's nothing better for the head than the Dead. And they were so successful because I wonder when Rush came around on their final tour, I'm like, I want to go because I didn't know if we were going to be able to see them ever again because, you know, some issues. Neil Peart lost his daughter and his wife. And I'm like, okay, I got to go see him. And there's the Vapor Trails tour, and you never knew. It kind of, you know, Alex Lifeson was sitting there, and he goes, well, this might be the last show. It probably isn't, but you have to look at all of life like that. This might be my last conversation. You never know. Something might happen tomorrow. I might not wake up. And you got to love whatever you're into. And when I wish I would have seen them, because maybe they would have played this song or that song. And you find out that, you know, when my ex Amanda got me the Russian Rio video, and it goes, well, how to think about coming up with is a set list. Okay, what songs did you play? What songs didn't you play? What songs in the past do we want to bring back? And set lists are the hardest thing to come up with. And, you know, when Neil had certain hesitation about old songs, but once we played them, the spirit was there. And it's like, yeah, we just got to do it. And I'm like, the hardest thing about a tour is creating a set list. The Dead played a different set list every night. And they played on, and they didn't play cookie cutter 90-minute sets. Their sets lasted 3 and 4 hours where they played off and on each other. And that no song was played the same. And thank you, Colonel Bruce Hampton, for that one. He is the father of modern jam band music. So if you listen to String Cheese Incident or Leftover Salmon or The Dead or Fish or Government Mule or Real Big Fish, you have him to thank, because he never wanted to play the... You got to have fun on stage. You got to be with the audience. You got to play. Don't play. Anyone can play the same song. Anyone can try to replicate the studio album. Jam it out. Have fun with it. Play different things. Do different stuff. And he was playing Hampton 70 at Fox Theater in Atlanta. It was a birthday party for his 70th birthday. And when he was on stage, he kind of got on his knees and then got on his lie down and collapsed, and he was pronounced dead at the hospital. And so many people have, why didn't anyone help him out, man? That's so inconsiderate. Well, they ended the song. They shortened the song. He went down. They didn't know what was going on, because he's done that before. And he'll sit there and then he'll grab the mic and he'll, I'm so glad. And then he'll get back up, and he's always done stuff like that. So it wasn't out of the ordinary for him. But when he didn't get up or respond, that's when they went into action, and that's when we lost another great guy. Amazing. One of my people always ask me who's my favorite guitarist or their favorite drummer or whatever. And besides Jerry Garcia, of course, he's my favorite guitarist. Jakey Lee is probably my favorite guitarist. Like I've said before, get the Badlands, get Ultimate Sin, get Bark at the Moon. Insanely innovative. But I think a lot of times when he's on stage, he's playing what's on the album. He's not like jamming it out, you know. But he's just insanely innovative. But Bruce Hampton was just incredible. He just have fun up there, man. If you're not there for having a good time and just playing and what have you. You know, so. And he was asked, like, is there any good real music out there? He goes, no, there's no. A lot of the music had messages. You don't have it anymore with music. There's no message. There's no. It's just one of those things that the good ones are going. And I mean, you got the live performances to always go back to, you know. And I think, and he said this, and he thinks we're going to turn around, we're going to start getting some actual musicians and stuff, you know, and come back and have some great music. So I'm excited about that. So, Jerry, you got Bruce Hampton. You got, now you guys can jam forever. I couldn't. I don't. I mean, I give kudos to Ann Coulter. She was on The View. I do like The View for one point. And people are like, you like The View? Well, for one point. They don't necessarily agree with Ann Coulter, but she should have the right to speech. And I guess right to speak at Berkeley University. I guess there was something where recently, like, Whoopi Goldberg was told she wasn't going to be able to speak or something. So it's not just the left that gets discriminated against with speaking. Actually, it is mainly the right that does. Not that the left never gets told they can't speak, but it's mainly the right people recently because they don't like our opinions. You know, I think the wall, like she was talking about on The View, it's going to be built. The reason why Trump got elected is because we're sick and tired of what's going on in this country. We voted for someone who finally sounded like he cared about the average worker, the average American. Go figure. He actually cares about the American person. He doesn't hate news. He hates fake news. Like I said on Thursday, none of these medias have done anything to try to, let's try to clean up our act so that maybe CNN hasn't done anything to try to clean up their act to try to get in the White House. No, they're not gonna. They're not gonna. The New York Times, they're not fake news. Oh no, you just had the Patriots call them out. Because no, this is the Patriots that came to see Trump, not your photo. Your photo is bullcrap. I don't know when your photo was taken, but or how you edited or whatever, but this is how many people were here when Obama came to see. When we came to see Obama, here's how many people were here. This is how many people came to see when Trump was president. Way more. I mean, but when you have, like, on The View, like, 5-1, it's hard. It's hard. I would just be like, okay. You know why I voted for Trump? If he has to be doing something right if almost every media outlet is trying to get rid of him. I mean, there's evidence now that Sean Hannity might even be looking at vacating Fox News because I guess when that one exec was stepped down, he's like their buddy-buddy, and if he's gone, Hannity might be leaving. But I've heard that they're looking at, this is how bad it is. I've heard there's evidence that Fox News is there's a company looking at making a news media outlet like Fox News, but it's going to be new. Because Fox News is really one of the only conservative places you have on TV to go. To rival Fox News, this new network. There's conservatives saying that's in the works. Liberals are saying that they have a network that they're looking at possibly putting together to combat or try to compete with Fox News. Yes, you heard me right. The liberals are considering a network to compete with Fox News, not to compete with MSNBC or CNN or CNBC or ABC or NBC or CBS, to compete with Fox. Their other networks are so bad that they're not trying to compete with those other networks because they tank. See, what they want to do is they want to get a network that they can get people behind that's going to get their viewpoint across. You know, that they can say what they're going to say. They can push their liberal agenda, but you're going to get people to watch it. What's funny is they'll go out and they'll say, like, well, what do you think about Trump's 100 days? oh, he's the worst president. He's so horrible. He's done this. This is bad. That's bad. This. He's the worst. He effing sucks and all this stuff. And guess what? So what do you think about him going on an apology tour and doing this and this? And everything that they ask, they say, what do you think about Trump doing this? It's all things that Obama did. And they say, yeah, he shouldn't be the Paul. He shouldn't be doing this. He shouldn't be doing that. And those same people were praising him for doing that. And now, at the end, they're like, well, how do you feel? Everything I told you, that was Obama that did that. Really? No way. Yeah, everything I told you, that's Obama doing it, not Trump. So, it's amazing how all these liberals, these people protesting, well, how do you think Trump's doing? Oh, he sucks. Well, why don't you like the fact that he did this 700? Oh, he shouldn't. We need to stop spending. Well, that was Obama that passed that, not Trump. Tells you how much they know. Will these stabbings and shootings ever stop? There was a shooting in Dallas, Texas the other day. And in San Diego, there was a shooting at a pool birthday party in I guess it was a really nice apartment complex, like really like high end, you know, like really, really, like that's where the rich people go that have an apartment that don't really want a house. I mean, I don't get it. I do feel like the media glamorizes these people. So they sit there and they're like, well, wait a minute here, folks. Wait a minute, folks. They glamorize them, and they do, I think, in a way. I mean, as a conservative talk show host and the average viewer of my program, you can't get that, you know. Why does if you're not gay, I can't look at a guy and go, man, that guy's cute. Oh, I'd love to be with him. I don't get that this guy likes this guy. I don't get how a guy wants to think he's a woman. Well, when I was 2 years old, I'm like, where's my dresses? You know, when I was like 6 years old, where's my dolls? I'm a girl. Where's my pink balloons for my birthday? Where's my Barbie birthday party? I'm a girl. I don't want Thomas the Tank Engine. I don't want Bob the Builder. I'm a girl. What the hell? I don't get it. And that's the thing. People don't understand that. You know, I don't get. But when the news media does what they do, they glamorize it. And it's like, hey, I'm going to be like this celebrity on TV. I'm going to go shooting up people. And I guess the one in San Diego, the guy supposedly called his ex-girlfriend so she could hear. Then, you know, all the chaos in the background. I don't get it, folks. But then I don't get May Day marchers chanting kill Trump and kill Pence. You wouldn't have been able to get away with that at all if it was Trump. Now, of course, if it's Trump that's president, you can do that all day long. But since it's Obama that's doing it, if you were to do that for Obama, let me tell you something. They would be going all over. They'd be all over that. The media is not condemning it. They're not condemning it. They're not like, hey, what the heck? And sorry, but time has passed. They should be labeled as domestic terrorists and classified as such. I mean, there are people now that have been convicted from the election when Trump won the election, when those people were busting windows and stuff, some of them have gotten major jail time. And they deserve it. If you're burning an American flag, sorry. I understand freedom of speech, but you're going to burn the very thing that gives you the freedom of speech? There are people that are blaming No, they're not blaming anybody. Well, yeah, they're blaming Trump for, well, look at all these stores closing, because Carmel, Indiana is getting, there's a company there and they're going to add like 120 jobs and like 83,000 is the income level. And I guess they make like security stuff for like home and like apartments, so you can have like security systems and stuff. And I don't know what you have to work there, but you probably, I would think you would have to have some sort of, it didn't really get into what you have to have to qualify to work there, because for 83,000 a year, I think you'd have to have a decent, some sort of like electrical knowledge or something, you know. As we've had things like that, like they're going to put in this plan at Purdue University to help build this and do that, and they're high-paying good jobs, but then when you look into it, and one of my buddies, Jeff Roman's like, oh, yeah, you have to have, like a aviation technology degree, you know. You just couldn't be a factory worker. Yeah, I worked at GM for 10 years, and I want to go here because it pays better, and no, you have to have, like, good knowledge of aviation technology and stuff. So it's one of those things that it's crazy. And they're like, well, because there's jobs in Carmel, well, look at all these stores closing and all this and da-da-da-da-da and blaming Trump and all this. And, okay, Kmart is not Trump's fault. Kmart should have a long time ago said, hey, Kate, we need to reinvest in our company. We need to divide and have a grocery store like Walmart. Like I've said before, Amazon, and I told this lady, I said, because this lady was supporting Trump and all this, I'm like, you need to just keep the resistance, keep fighting. You're the resistance and keep fighting. And I said, you know, that was at the end of it. But I said in the beginning, I'm like, Amazon is the number one retailer. They have no storefront. Okay, they don't. Why do I want to have a storefront? If I can just have like a place that I can have a warehouse and I have a couple people box and ship stuff. Okay. If I sell cake supplies and stuff to, you know, to make kits and stuff, why have a store when I can just have like a little warehouse thing that's, I can house all my stuff and I don't have to pay people to sit there and run a cash machine. I can just, okay, we just box and ship. Box and ship. That's all we do. You know, if I sold balloons, why would I want to have a huge store when I can just have a warehouse? Okay, I got boxes, okay. These are all the rounds, these are the longs, these are the twisties, here's this. And you just have everything in a warehouse to where all I'm doing is just boxing and shipping. And I'm not having to buy a whole storefront and have to have people work and rely on customers coming in, and I can sit there and put this on the internet and I can get people from all over. I mean, why would I want that? Why would I, if I wanted to have a dart store, I could do so much online for way cheaper than having to have storefront and having to, okay, I gotta have display stuff. No. If you play darts, you know what kind of darts these are. You know what kind of flights these are. There you go. Cuts down. And you can probably do a lot of it yourself and cut out the middle and cut out a lot of employees. Just, you know, like me and my wife could do something. And we could probably do, instead of having to have a storefront, you know, okay. We just take the orders, we box them, we ship them, send them out. There you go. Done. They're trying to blame Trump for everything. All the stuff that's going on in Trump, all these, you know, H.H. Gregg wasn't like, yep, sorry, folks. Yeah, Trump came in here, nah. They were having issues. No company just sits there in like 2 months, yep, now, well, we gotta, because Trump's in here now, we're gonna have to close the store, because in 2 months, we've racked up billions in debt. Now we can't. No. It takes time for you to get to the point where you say, okay. And then you try to exhaust every option you have to try to stay in business. But it's Trump's fault. got to blame him because, God forbid, they can't take responsibility for the truce. I mean, heck, Hillary Clinton even said what the election was on October 27th, I'd be a president. You lost, Hillary. Get over it. Get on the Trump train. Nope. We gotta protest every day. We gotta protest. We gotta burn buildings. We gotta protest. We can't. I mean, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again. You hear me out on this. Do I support what Trump is passing? Yes. Do I support the way he's doing it? I don't like these executive orders where he's going to pass 55, because then the next, because, well, you may say, well, hi, yeah, he's passing what I like, but then when are you going to have another president come in that's going to just do an executive order and after executive order after executive order, and you find out that, guess what, folks, everything he's doing, you don't like. I saw a photo, video the other day, and it showed like, well, this is an American school lunch, and this is lunches from around the world. Like, this is what they eat in Japan. This is what they eat in, like, Newfoundland and France and all these other countries. And I'm like, most of that stuff, when I looked at that, most of the kids I know wouldn't have been like, yum. They'd been like, really? Okay, I want my chicken McNuggets. I want my pizza. I want my pizza, my corn, and a thing of fruit, and my chocolate milk, or regular milk, whatever. You know? They want to have the country fried steak with mashed potatoes, gravy, and corn. That's what they want. I want to have my Texas straw hat. I want to have my ground beef, or whatever it is, seasoned taco meat, with cheese, and Frito-Lay corn chips. I mean, some of this stuff was like, it looked like it was like Napa cabbage and pepper and onion, julienne, and then sauteed and, you know, with like seasonings, like a, almost like a vinaigrette tossed in and put on a plate, you know, and stuff like that, like a beet salad and stuff that some people might have went yum as a young kid. I wouldn't have. No, I'd say, yeah, beets, not bad. Cool. You know, but, and he's, he wants to give the people the food that they're going to eat. And I back that. Well, they're going to get rid of some whole grains. Well, and you've heard this on the program before. If you are the farthest away from celiac disease, you still don't digest 100% of the wheat you eat and the whole grains. What's crazy is when you find out how much sodium is in some of this stuff, and then people still add salt. What I always tell people is they can take it, they can take items, they could literally, like, especially like a breaded item, they could put as little to no salt in the item, and then when they bread it, make sure that there's salt on the outside with the breading, and you can have less salt, because potato chips have less salt than some soups. But you say, man, these chips are salty. Oh gosh. But the soup has 10 times the sodium, but it doesn't taste that salty to you. I mean, you need to get the kids to eat the lunches. And half of the stuff I've heard people are eating that Michelle mandated, oh God, I wouldn't have eaten it. This is why we got to do what we got to do, folks. I remember a couple weeks ago when that guy slammed into that church bus and they found out later that he apologized. They're like, people died. And oh, he was texting and ran into that church bus going the wrong direction. I don't know if that's the case, but in Dayton, Ohio, one person was killed as a driver ends up going the wrong way and slams into a gasoline tanker. Now, I'm pretty sure you're going to find out that he was looking at his phone or texting or something. That's just, I don't get it. When are people going to learn? Or are they ever going to learn? Are they ever going to learn? I'm a chef, so I got to get in this. I think this is so cool. This is out of Madrid. It's a Robin Hood restaurant. 80-year-old priest called Father Angel opened up a restaurant in Madrid that takes money from the lunch customers. Just a little, you know, like you pay an extra couple bucks. And then at the end of the night, in the nighttime, they allow homeless people to come in there and they get like a really high-end meal for free. So that they can be guaranteed at least one really good meal a day. And that is getting to be so hard to get into at lunch. I mean, I think a lot of places around here and around the nation should be, okay, vets free, you know, police, and like, you know, like ambulance workers, police, and like military servicemen and veterans should either get a really deep discount or should be free. But then you wonder if like, okay, here we go. Well, at lunch, 85% of our business was all veterans, and but still, I mean, they deserve something. That's why I like Noodles & Company. I think it's a 15% discount all the time if you're like a service member or whatever. So at least they try to do something. It's one of those things, though. It's kind of a neat concept, you know, that they at least try to do something to help the homeless. Bum Davis, get a job, bum. Wait a minute, man. I'm not a bum, you know. And they're not. They want to do something. It's not easy. Leave a number and we'll call you back. Well, how can I call back? I ain't got no phone. I ain't got no place. I'm on the street. I'd say, well, I'll come back in a couple days because I ain't got a place. I'm living on the street. I mean, at least there's been subways and stuff where they've, and you sweep the front, you sweep them up the front area and stuff, and we'll give you a sandwich. You can sit down, we'll give you drinks and chips and a sandwich. You know, so that's it. Something good that I think's coming out of some stuff. Where was this? I want to get into this because this was really cool. This is out of Emory, Texas, St. John's Evangelical Church. There was a tornado coming. 45 parishioners were there for an event, and they got into the hallway, and this lady just like, yeah, I knew God was saying we'd be safe, we'd be taken care of. Tornado hit, took off, took like about 40% of that building, that church, demolished it, and no one was scratched, no one was hurt. And it's a miracle. It's called God. You know, we need to turn to Him. No one's perfect. I'm far from it. No one is. No one's perfect, but it's just amazing when you see that building and like no one was even scratched. But I love what the Texas governor, Greg Abbott, said in his words. He's like, you know, other Texans need to help Texans. We need to come together. There may be people that you may have damage, but you have less damage than this. And we all can come together and we can all help each other. You know, just because I'm the governor, I can help you out, and vice versa. You know, we need to help each other. He's not like, okay, Trump, we need help, buddy. Okay, we need help, Trump. He's like, we need to work together and help each other, you know. We're going through some tough times right now, but we need to come together as one. and help each other. Okay, you who are less hurt, help the people that are more injured. I mean, even Fabio gets it. He was talking about how he goes, I've already seen this movie. California's a mess. I've already seen this movie. It's called Europe. And it's coming here. We need to stop relying on government and saying, hey, we're gonna help each other out. I'm gonna be there for you, and you're gonna be there for me. We're not going to say, well, I have no place to live. I have nowhere to go. You know, where's the government, man? I need something. I mean, see, I told you, man, if we had Hillary, she'd be here helping us. If it meant brownie points, she'd probably help you, but other than that, she could care less about you. And why should you rely on anyone? You should in the government. Help each other. Remember, you are the government. We should try to help each other. Hey, you know what? My son turned 10 last year. Your son's turning 10. Here's some 10th birthday stuff, so you don't have to go buy it. It's not like we can really reuse the candles again. Unless we save the one and buy a 3. No, here you go. Use it. Have it. Here's some birthday signs that say, you know, if you use them, fine. If not, you know, give back, help people. You know, speaking of giving back to people, Colin Kaepernick was handing out old suits and stuff outside a parole office in New York City. And I hope it's legit. And he's not just like, okay, I didn't get picked up by the NFL. I need to make myself look good. Maybe they'll take me back. You know, I hope it's legit. I mean, I do stuff because I just feel called to. I mean, if I've done things that I don't tell anything about, I don't tell anyone about. I just do it because it's the right thing to do. I don't care. It's because it's in my heart. It's what I want to do. I just do what I do for my wife because I love her and I care about her. If I don't get anything in return, oh well, I do what I do. I'm not going to change. There was a lady that was in Arizona. I want to move on to this story. This story was amazing. Arizona. She went to a Walmart and bought a purse, and then there was this note written in Chinese, and I guess it said, like, help me, we're prisoners. And when she had it translated 3 times, and it all basically said the same thing, that hey, we're being slaved. You know, I live here, I work 14 hours a day, you know, help. And I guess this isn't the first time notes have been found inside of people's purses or, you know, bags or whatever. But it's one of those things that, and Sam Walt was alive, he'd have never seen that because he was about America, America, America. He didn't sell liquor. You know, his stuff came from America, but nowadays it's not about the best, it's about, hey, this is way cheaper. A lot of it, that's how it is. You know, if we can produce our own party products instead of having someone we can make them cheaper, hey, more to you. If we can do a lot of our own stuff, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's save some money, folks. Anything to save a buck. Because nothing's about quality anymore. Nothing's about quality, and that's sad. Because a lot of these TVs now, they're not made to... Oh yeah, when they go, they go. I wonder what they... Because that's sad, because you wonder what happens. Because I remember the TVs back in the day, you could take them and they had a TV repairman, he could fix it. My dad is a television repairman. He's got this ultimate set of tools. I can fix it. Man, Spicoli, you can't fix this car. I can fix it. Fast Times at Richmond High. Remember in the glory days when they actually had people that could fix your TV if it went down? They used to have like VCR rentals. You could get a Blockbuster while your VCR is down. You can rent this VCR while yours is getting repaired. I'm like, all right, when my sister was in high school, they went on through a band raffle. We had that one until it like collapsed to like VC. We had that one until VCRs were pretty much obsolete almost. See, I gotta get into this because I don't want to forget this story as I'm moving on, folks. Got a little bunch of small stories. I'm a lover. I love my wife and I do things for her. And I do things that I think she's into or whatever, you know. But I guess a guy proposed to his wife at Fenway Park and it didn't go well. And I guess there's a dude that was videotaping him with a cell camera. And I guess they were arguing and talking and all this stuff. And now I'm assuming if he asked his wife, his girlfriend to be his wife at Fenway Park, I'm assuming she is a very, very huge baseball fan. Very huge Red Sox fan. You know, and it's like, she goes to all the games. Because I hate when those people that I swear, like, the girl doesn't really, she goes to the NBA games because her boyfriend's into it. Or goes to the football games because her boyfriend, or the hockey game because her boyfriend, they're not really a fan. They're just kind of there, like, I just do this to appease him because, Lord help me, I'm going to start World War III if I don't go to him to basketball games. NBA, oh God, I can't say. If I have to see another NBA game, oh Lord, help me. And then they sit there and they get him on the court and they ask the wife to marry him. Their girlfriend, will you marry me? And then they get slapped and all this. Folks, if you're going to ask your wife to marry you at like a Pacers game or a Detroit Tigers game or a Lakers game, make sure that's a love of hers. Make sure that's something that she very, 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 she's a huge fan, okay? She's taking you to the games. She's got season tickets, okay? You're on your court side, you know? She's got court side seats, you know? She's got a box. Most women want something romantic. They want something from the heart. They want something that means you. They want it to be special, either between you and her, or maybe you, her, and maybe the family. But she wants it special. She dreams about this from when she's 2 years old. She's putting on things and pretending she's getting married and having fake weddings. You don't sit there and... To me, that's... Even then, if she was a huge White Sox fan or a huge Red Sox fan, I don't know if I would still hesitate doing that. But that's just me. And if, I don't know where you all been, but Kelly Ripa announced she has a new co-host in Ryan Seacrest. When she was blindsided, and that man by the name of Michael Strahan, she found out about him leaving when the public did. when the nation did, because he was leaving. Really? Who cares? I stopped watching that show when Kathy Lee Gifford left, and it was just Regis. That's when Kathy Lee left, I'm like, I thought it would end. Because you don't got Regis and Kathy Lee. And he stayed on, and they found the co-host. And then when he was taking too much time off, they said, hey, we're paying you this money. You need to be here. And he finally said, okay. And they didn't renew his contract, and he left. But I stopped watching that show when Kathy, because I wouldn't say I watched it every day, but I watched it. I watched it like 3 times a week. But that was when it was Regis and Kathy Lee Gifford, aka Kathy Lee Epstein. But when she left, I thought the show would end. I don't know who watches it now. This guy gave up when they, okay, now we got to find the host of the host of the host. I don't know. Sorry if I offend you, because you actually, someone out there actually watches that show, but I, what do they call it now? Because, I mean, like, what do they change the name every time? It's Live with Kelly and somebody soon to be announced. But then, for the time that she's on that show, I'd love to pull in the money she's probably pulling in for just BSing for an hour on, not an hour, because they got commercials and stuff. But that's just kind of how it goes. That's how the cookie crumbles, at least in this. And, I mean, but Canadian hockey fans are, this is great, because there was a game that was in Canada, and like they do in a lot of places, you know, if you have dual countries, you'll play the Canadian national anthem and the American national anthem. The guy's mic stopped working, so the fans took it upon themselves, the Canadian hockey fans, to sing the Star Spangled Banner. When the singer's mic failed. Because whenever I go to Michigan International Speedway and I go see a race, and I'm there, I'm like, oh, Canada, our home and native land, to patriot love. I sing the national anthem. I give them the same respect. I know it, but, and a lot of people that go to the race do, and you know, it's just neat to see that happen. And it might makes me kind of want to take back my statement that they hate us because we took the croissant and turned it into the croissant sandwich. But I mean, I think it's cool that that happened. And it's been kind of interesting because we've had, our bill kept going up and up and up. We got DirecTV because, hey, we have AT&T. Why not try it? And not happy at all with them. When you call, we just want our bill. We just want to know what we owe. Why is it like this much? And then they try to sell you stuff. Well, what you can do is this and this and this and this and all this stuff that goes on. I'm like, wait a minute here. All we want to know is, this was our bill before. This is, why is it going up? Why is this and why is that? We don't want to buy anything. And so, like, I found out now that on YouTube, they'll put, like, some of the football matches on so you can hear the audio. Because that's all I heard, the last Manchester United match, because I don't have cable now to watch it. And I was trying to find the Champions League match between Atletico Madrid and Real Madrid. And all the audios I could find were all in Spanish. So I couldn't really listen, but they won 3-0. Real Madrid did, so incredible. Cristiano Ronaldo, amazing football player, amazing. He's just incredible. It's going to be interesting, you know, to see. I think Real Madrid is going to be the team That's going to be very hard to beat. They are. But tomorrow, which I don't know if I'll even be able to. Well, actually, Thursday, Celta Vigo is going to take on Manchester United. And I think we have a good chance of winning. But with all the injuries we have right now, it's kind of interesting. But they have said, as I talk a little bit about Manchester United, publicists and stuff for Zlatan Ibrahimovic said his knee surgery was a major success. Everything went beyond what they expected. Now we just got to let him heal. And I don't, from the way it sounds, I don't think he'll be, I think he's out for the season. So, but like you said, he's not a 25-year-old football player anymore. So, you know, what do you expect? He wants to win, he wants to do his best. But, I mean, because I think Gordon Ramsay used to play and he had like an ankle or foot injury. And because of that, they said he might never be able, if he had another injury like that, he may not ever be able to play again and stuff. And because of that injury, who knows what might happen if he didn't have that injury, because he might have played football. But, you know, I think we have a good chance of actually making it. On Sunday, though, we have the opportunity to play Arsenal and get 3 points, and we can get up in the fourth. And, you know, because we're 1 point behind Man City, so it's going to be very interesting. I just wonder what's going to happen with good old Arsene Wenger. I'm not a huge fan of Arsenal, so I haven't really kept up to date on what's going on with him. And now that I've got no cable, I haven't been watching a lot of football, so I'm going to have to get online and see. And Thursday, I'll give an update on what's going on with him, if his contract's been renewed or not. Apologize, I'm not a huge Arsenal fan, but it's just kind of interesting to see what's going to happen to him. But I think we will have an easy chance of getting, we'll get to the Champions League next year. I can guarantee you that, because I think we'll get into fourth place. Yeah, we do have some injuries that sent us back, and so we'll just have to kind of wait and see. But it's amazing how much you take for granted when you cut the cable just so that you can. And when we get into our new place, we're going to get either Dish or Comcast. We're going to look into them and see which one we want to go with, but we'll have to wait and see. But I want to get into a little bit of motorsports before the show ends, folks. And Joey Logano ended up winning the Toyota Owners 400 in Richmond at the International Raceway, because like near the end of the race, and like Jimmy Johnson was like 19th or something. I'm like, yep, he can still win the thing. Yeah, he can. But then when they, right after that, then they went back and they said, well, you know, Joey Logano can kind of coast to victory because he's like 10-second advantage over Brad Keselowski and another 3 seconds back to Denny Hamlin. But it was just an incredible race. Brad Keselowski, I thought, he's my driver. I thought he could come home. I think this is his year. I think he can get another championship, and I'll be excited because I think he's going to be able to do that. I mean, right now, he's fifth in the standings. And I think what you need to do is you need to try to figure out, okay, what gets you the most points, and how do I do that? Okay, do I have to win these segments? Is that where I get points, or how can I, you know? So, to me, you're not really racing a race. You're okay. I need to get points. How do I get points? And I kind of relate that back to Matt Kenseth when he won the last Winston Cup title before it became Nextel. And it's just like, okay, well, he really didn't do anything, but he won the championship. And then, hey, look at how many races I won. Look what I did. And I didn't win the championship. Bull crap. And that's why they try to change up the crap every year. They try to change up the points. Try to change up how they race. And I think it loses fans. Because I'm like, okay, just come up with one thing and go with it. Like my proposal. Okay, if you win the race, you get 50 points. And you get a certain amount of points for how many laps you lead. So if you lead one lap and you win the race, if you lead one lap the last lap and you win the race, and you get 50 points. That way it's not like, well, I led 199 laps. The only lap I didn't lead was the first lap, but I led all 199 after that and I won the race and I get 50 points. He led one lap and got 50 points. No, you both get 50 points for winning, but you get, let's say, an extra 30 points because you led that many laps or whatever. I mean, IndyCar changes their points a little bit here and there, but it's pretty consistent. You know, they may change the push to passes and stuff like that, but, you know, Simon Pagenaud, as I want to get into IndyCar a little bit, they were in Arizona. 90 seconds left. Simon Pagenaud won the race. It was a pretty good race. I was listening to it on the radio. My man Sebastian Bourdais didn't really have a good day, but, you know, it was Simon Pagenaud, Will Power, and Jared Hildebrand. They got on the podium, and it's a good thing. I see 60 seconds left. I still think Sebastian Bourdais is going to be, in the end, the driver to beat. He's fourth right now. He's just been, I think, one of the most successful besides Simon Pagenaud. So we just have to wait and see how this season shakes out, you know, because we're getting ready for the month of May. So the Indy and all that stuff is like almost like a separate race. It's like its own thing. So we just have to wait and see how that does. I want to thank you all so much for tuning in. You know, do what that Texas governor said. Help your neighbor. Do something. You know, he's not like, okay, well, you just hold tight because the government's going to save you. No. Do something. Help your neighbor. Help your friends. Help your family. And with the divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors. Until next Tuesday, good night, everyone, and God bless. Goodbye.